my greetings and my wishes for a very happy and fortunate year for you in 75. I enjoyed hearing your voice on the tape very much. It made me feel, as the we Scots would say, better acquainted. Now to your questions. You ask what our social position was as a family. We had one or two servants, and I was good in the house. I recall a maid saying to me, "You will be going around heaven with a duster, Miss Helen." And it meant that we were in Glasgow society, which meant we knew of ministers and their families. Two very brilliant families lived close to us, the Buthams and the Gullens. We knew civic heads. We knew lawyers, doctors, businessmen, university teachers, students, artists, musicians. Really, one knew everybody that was in Glasgow society. I suppose you would say our position was good. My father's politics. Father was a liberal. Did he discuss politics with the family, you ask? Yes, important issues at home or in the world. It was we young ones who argued and discussed everything conceivable, political, literary, inventions, discoveries, science. It was the young ones who did that. Mother's attitude to women's suffrage, you asked. She accepted it as right, thought some things should be improved for women and for people in general. She thought, she was very busy, very kind, very protective of children, very hospitable to friends and relatives, very interested in father's interests, which were many. She had no outside interests. I should think she would have said she was too busy inside. You ask about my school and home influences. Home was the greatest influence. My English master influenced me on literature, and I liked the language master. And Herr Lebovius, who came in to talk on German literature, and Marcel Rosy on French literature and for conversation. You ask about what we did after school. My sister and I at home for some years. Very social life. Dances, parties at home, played tennis. I helped father in his council elections and did visiting for the city, organized fetes, and collected for charities. We did amateur theatricals for charity. My sister excelled in that. These days were very important, because there was really no government social services. Lloyd George started them some years later. I remember Lady Primrose asked me to get friends to collect for a women's hospital at a Rangers and Celtic football match, the first time I think this was ever done. I did, and it was very successful. I went to some political meetings and to other meetings of interesting kind, literary, and did a lot of reading and some art. About Meredith, I feel I must have read something about him. Anyhow, I took out Diana from a library we subscribed to, and I loved Diana and read it with great avidity. I read The Egoist, another of my favourites, The Ordeal of Richard Feverel, portrayal of women, I think, inimitable. I think Conrad in Donna Rita has another unique portrayal, and Mary Webb and Jane Austen draw women well. I like many of Meredith's poems very much, and I enjoyed his epigrams. Yes, I did some painting, and still have some ideas, and I used that room later as a suffrage office. How did I go into the WSPU? I went to hear TB speak in the open air, was very much impressed, met another friend there. We talked to TB at the end. She asked me to take the chair for her at a Langside meeting some days later. I did, I feel sure, to the amusement of a lot of the audience who knew me. This led to my going to London, speaking in Hyde Park and other places, and being asked to organize for the WSPU. I met Mrs. Pankhurst and Christabel, the Pethick Lawrences, Annie Kenny, and Mary Gawthorpe and others. The person who said I was sickeningly reasonable was another WSPU organizer. You ask about my sister going to prison. She was arrested for trying to walk to the house from Caxton Hall. The magistrate argued with her and then said in the end, "You must admit you were obstructing the police." She said, "On the contrary, the police were obstructing me." He said 40 shillings or 14 days, and she went to prison. And you know how father behaved well about that. In Scotland, you ask about Scotland. Mrs. Pankhurst, or one of them at headquarters, asked me to organize Scotland, to which I agreed. I held meetings, organized by elections. It was from there I was asked to go to Hexham with Nell Kenny. I did an Aberdeen by-election where the students were very friendly. 100 or 200 of them on pouring night came outside where I was staying and sang, "Will you know, come back again?" I did Kincardineshire and Stirling by-elections. I cannot recollect I ever had any trouble with supporters. I think my letter to Isabel Seymour must have referred to my not liking headquarters, sending organisers into Scotland to harry and make trouble with cabinet ministers without telling me. All my family were friendly to suffrage. The youngest brother, a schoolboy, wore a Votes for Women badge. I now wonder what the other boys said. My brother George, taking his degrees at the university, asked Asquith when he spoke there about suffragists and government hospitality when they went to London, reference to prison. My debate with Mrs. Pankhurst about militant tactics, she came to Glasgow to tell me they were going to be militant, use force, throw stones, etc. I was horrified. I saw no value or use in militancy in a cause. I told her that and said, "You use argument and reason in a cause, not militancy." She would not argue about it, just went on saying it was necessary. Now, the interesting thing about this is if Christabel had come, she would have given me instances of where violence got results, perhaps including the French Revolution, I don't know. But Mrs. Pankhurst obviously had no arguments about why violence would get results, which I think shows clearly what I have always said, the militant tactics were entirely Christabel's. So I said to Mrs. Pankhurst, when she said I would have to do what they wanted, I said I will resign, and did so in a letter to headquarters. I still have no use for violence and in any sphere or any I was not a pacifist and felt men like Hitler had to be fought when they took to violence. Josephine Butler, you ask, I knew her work and thought her very fine and courageous, but my religious training began in my home church and Sunday school. Christabel's attitude to men, I would say she regarded them as protagonists in general, to be fought for political rights, recognition, and, you know, rights in general, a bit antagonistic. I feel sure she accepted the pathetic Lawrences. You will recall I told you that Charles Hand said very early, I cannot recall when, that Christabel is like her father and will delay your getting of the vote. Christabel, in my view, was the person who decided on militancy. After my resignation, I was invited by Mrs. Fawcett and the board to join and work for them, for the NUWSS. I was very pleased to do this. I was asked to organize branches, meetings, by-elections, and later on, the caravan tour and the pilgrimage. I was on the executive for 14 years. The attitude to the problem of converting people by the WSPU and the NUWSS was completely different. In the NU, we were interested in getting women as members and winning political support from members of parliament and political men. I decided one year to note how many joined at my meetings. It was over 1,000. The WSPU were not converted only. They attacked and harried cabinet ministers, opposed the government at by-elections, getting their members to use violence and go to prison, welcoming them out, all very different and not nearly very much propaganda. Mrs. Pankhurst and Mrs. Fawcett. Mrs. Pankhurst, in my view, as I've said, the militant tactics were Christabel's ideas. Mrs. Pankhurst certainly idolized Christabel. I recall Mrs. Compton Sanderson staying in Glasgow with a friend of mine, Mrs. Pierce, and I was startled at dinner when she said Mrs. Pankhurst would walk over the dead bodies of all her children except Christabel and say, see what I have given for the cause. Mrs. Pankhurst was a good speaker. She spoke, she used intellect and emotion. She was often passionate on social injustices, quite justifiably. And she was really, in her speaking, a mixture of heart and head. She was, in herself, very attractive and really very feminine-looking in every way. Mrs. Fawcett was most generous in her appreciation of what the first non-militant protest did in getting publicity through the world. Was very fine person, intellectual, versed in social problems, knew politics and politicians extremely well. Her husband had been in the cabinet. I feel she saw people and their qualities very clearly. She was a very discerning judge, very wise and far-sighted, very and extremely modest about her own qualities. I think Mary Stock's appreciation of her in her book is really excellent, very, very fine. Scotland, was Scotland different? Yes, in some ways. Some of the laws in Scotland were better for women, was one point. And Scots enjoyed intellectual speaking and good arguments Aberdeen had most appreciative audiences. Questions often came from the Bible, Old Testament. I quoted the New. I remember a nice old man at a meeting in the north of Scotland saying after my speech, "You talked a lot of sense, aye, and you talked some nonsense." I agree with the latter part of this, I'm sure I did. There was very little violence in Scotland, practically none, and the caravan tour was very well received, really quite delightful all over the countryside. You ask about Mrs. Swanwick. She was a very interesting and striking personality. I remember Lila Rendell of the Caldecott Community, a friend, being very much impressed by her speaking. Mrs. Swanwick invited me to her home, and I met her brother, Sycop the artist. I did not feel he particularly liked suffrage, though he may have. She was really a very brilliant woman, literally and in speaking in every way. But there was something aloof and a little mysterious about her. I always had the impression she was not very happy. Kathleen Courtney, you know about, and now she is gone. She was very fine. Eleanor Rathbone, I regard as one of the three great women I knew. Dr. Elsie Ingalls, who is history. Anna Howard Shaw, who is in America too. The others. Eleanor Rathbone was the embodiment of sincerity, the courage, compassion, and far-sighted vision. She hated pretense and hypocrisy. She was never afraid to say what she thought, regardless of effect. A very able politician. She was the one who got child allowances. The men in the house respected her deeply. She was a really great woman. I feel with them, though, I might ask about my parents and the war. My father died in 1908, aged only 52. My five brothers, two OTC and one Canadian staff, and my brother-in-law, all commissioned, fought in the 1418 war, one in Gallipoli. Four were wounded, and my RNR brother was killed in the Channel in 18. In war, our active suffrage organizing ceased, but a great deal of war work was done. The Scottish Women's Hospitals, of course, are outstanding. The London Society did notable work, and many organizers went into war work. Some were heads in the WAX, the Women's Army. I went to Salisbury for a time, doing patrol work, organized a war exhibition, spoke on economic issues and the need of saving, spoke with Gilmore J. H. Carroll and others. I was telegraphed to go to London early in 15 and was interviewed by Orford Bottomley, led by Northcliffe to the committee, for a post in the National War Savings Committee. He offered it to me, and I was given Berks, Bucks, Oxford, Hampshire, and the Isle of Wight, and worked under, of course, Lord Kindersley, our head, Sir Theodore Chambers, Sir Dixon Kiem, and Evan Hughes. I set up 101 committees. I was lent to the food controllers, and the Board of Agriculture to speak, the latter to get women on the land for short periods during my work with the Savings Committee. In 1917, the United States asked the Foreign Office to send a woman to speak on British war efforts. The Foreign Office did nothing, so Anna Howard Shaw wrote to Mrs. Fawcett asking for her help. Mrs. Fawcett got in touch with me and said she thought I should go. She talked to Lord Robert Cecil, the Foreign Secretary, about it. He knew me and agreed. I was given leave to go, and when I went over, was received by President Wilson. I knew Hoover well, spoke all over the States. In July 18, Lord Reading, our U.S. ambassador, very brilliant, sent all the mission people home, 29 men and myself. I was sent to France to see war efforts. I saw men go up the line, went to hospitals, to Etretat to see a wounded brother, visited Citroën's, then a great munition factory, saw soldiers, turned in trains and various places, met French sergeants and others. After this, I was told I was to go back to USA, 11 men and myself. The Hague, I was away at the Hague time, so no comment. I spoke and worked for suffrage till 1928. I stood in 22 and 23 of parliamentary seats. The Hamilton attacks, the brother of a Labour Party organiser told me they were determined to get me out of the west of Scotland. They helped to get me, disgusted with politics. I had bought a house in Kensington Park Gardens after the war and had it converted into four flats. I used one for myself. I did some lecture tours in USA. I did a great deal of freelance journalism and magazine articles and some election work. You asked about Edith Howe Martin. I knew her at home, of course, and saw her in Sydney quite often and her husband. She was an invalid, but in touch with suffrage and other current affairs. You will have all about her in the suffrage fellowship. I saw her husband till he died. Winifred Bolt was a suffragist, and I recall others came to see Edith Howe Martin. Winifred Bolt was a most faithful and helpful friend. Mary McCauley was not specially interested in suffrage. She headed an organization called the Iona Center, later the Mary McCauley Center in Kensington. She had members, lectured in schools, colleges, and organizations on what her book called Understanding Ourselves, The Psychology of Growing Up. Ruby Rich, you can meet here. She is a very fine and very knowledgeable suffragist all over the world. Lady Astor's parties were very useful. All the leaders in women's affairs came. Politicians, writers, visitors from Europe, USA, and the East. They gave opportunities for meetings and discussion. Her woman's year dinner was quite an event. About Lloyd George, I think I've told you about my leaving politics. Labour never attracted me philosophically. When I was quite young, I always saw it as getting us all levelled with powerful heads controlling. Really, rather, what communism is, though it did not exist when I thought that. I knew and liked several Labour men, from Tom Johnson, one of the finest Scotsmen of his time. I did a weekly woman's column in Fall of the Labour paper. He edited. I knew Jimmy Maxton, a delightful person. All the house liked him. I visited Keir Hardie with a friend, a very fine person too. I knew Ramsay MacDonald and his wife Margaret. She was very able and interesting. And Ethel Snowden, fine speaker, and Margaret Bonfield a little. I knew several others, my opponent Neil Maclean among them, all friendly. I was on the Kensington Council for 7 years. Any time I was at home and within my constituency, I voted Liberal. I was often away. Anna Howard Shaw impressed me. I liked her. I cannot say she influenced me. I thought her outstanding and the best woman speaker I ever heard. Read her Story of a Pioneer. It gives you her. I was never a theosophist. I was interested in all religions and read about theosophy and knew some who were in it. I have the Bhagavad Gita, Lao Tzu, who would be much better for China than Mao. Many religious books, a great assortment of them, beginning with Jacob Beeman, printed in 1691 in London, down to Lewis's George MacDonald's anthology, and David Davis, whom I knew. When I was in the NUWSS, I suggested they should star Maud Dryden. She was very good and had a following. They did, but she had no special influence on me. I have known great Christian men and learned from them. Two are dead, two are right, two in England. I am not now what I would call orthodox because I know more than the usual teacher, but I am very Christian. I think it was a pity. It is a pity the churches do not have something like the old schools of the prophets for those farther on the path. The change in Christabel to me was quite marked. She seemed to me less narrow, more human, and more friendly. The ESU in England, you ask, I was one of its early members and on the Education and Common Interest Committees. We established the first scholarships. I was also for some years chairman of the London branch of the National Council of Women. The individualist movement was run by the publishers, Ben, and Gertrude Bell's father, the ironmaster, was on the executive. I spoke at one luncheon and several times moved votes of thanks. It simply stressed the value of the individual. I got interested in money problems through meeting Arthur Kitson and then many others. Vincent Vickers, a splendid person, Professor Soddy, I knew his wife in the NU, and Edward Holloway, now Secretary of the Economic Research Council, which came from all this. I met Major Douglas, but we did not like social credit. In Australia, I have done a lot with the ESU, getting lecturers, inaugurating books across the sea and the Ranfurly Library. I handed over the library when we had sent 25,000 books to the islands and the east. Now more than double that have gone. I went to Australia to marry my husband, whom I had known all through my youth. He was an honors classics MA and BSc of Glasgow University and had taught in Scots College and other schools. He had a very beautiful orchard at Jural of 80 acres near Sydney with 1,000 citrus trees and mixed fruits round the house and lovely bush. It is now partly built on. I sold it after Jim died in 58. In Jural, I helped with the Church of England Women's Guild and church activities. In Sydney, I was honorary treasurer of the YWCA for 7 years and on the board longer. I had headed Women for Canberra for a time. It was wound up after some useful propaganda. I have very little use for women's liberation or Germaine Greer. I think one of the revolting features of today is in the media is sex exploitation. I gather there is any amount of literature today, I have never read any of it, that sounds as if burning by the common hangman, as they used to say, would be good. Well, I suppose that is what the world is like. I still think men and women were never meant to fight except side by side, against the common enemies of mankind. Now, I did enjoy Mary Stock's book. I want to thank you again for that. It has been a great pleasure to have you ask me all these queries and make me look back, which I really did, on so many friends and causes of the past. Everything good to you in 75, and I shall hope to see.